Our Father, we thank you for this place. It is a place that we come to assemble ourselves. This is a special place to us. We come to worship you and to praise you and to give you thanks for who you are, for what you are, and all that you have done for us. And now at the close of another day, you have blessed us to assemble again. And now we will turn our hearts and our thoughts to your word. And we'll study a subject that is important. We're going to study a subject that so many people are misinformed about. And we're going to take a look tonight at loving you and what that really means. So be with us and bless us in our efforts tonight. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to take a couple of minutes to review and to lay again down the truth that we looked at last Wednesday night, because we're going to use that truth again tonight before we get through. We noted last week that the New Testament was written in Greek, a particular Greek, common Greek or Koine Greek, and that the Greeks used different words for love. And the reason they did that is it was giving different degrees of love, or they were casting different shadows upon the word love. And though they use different words to describe the different degrees of love, when you turn to just an English translation of the New Testament, they're all just translated by the word love. But the Greeks had a word for love that talked about family relationships. And the Greeks had a word for love that talked about friendship and brotherly love. They also had a word, and we didn't discuss this last week, about sexual love. That word is not in the New Testament. And then they had a word that was agape. The word love or agape is a Christian word. It came about during the time of Christianity. It is the love that God has for us. John 3:16, for God so agaped us. It is a word that means wanting what is in the best benefit of the other person. It is wanting what is in the best benefit or in the best interest of the other person. Again, this is a Christian love. The definition of that love is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 17. Verses 4 through 7. There are 15 different characteristics of this Christian love. Let's look at them again. I want to make a point, maybe a little stronger tonight than it did last week, and then this will come up again before we get through. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is from the New International Version. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I want you to understand something. That is Christian love. That is Christian love. That's for us. This is Christian love. This is how God loves us. Now, I heard one author explain it like this. Go back to those same verses, and every time it says love, just say Jesus. Look at verse 4. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. Jesus is not rude. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does not delight in evil, but Jesus rejoices in the truth. Jesus always protects, Jesus always trusts, Jesus always hopes, and Jesus always perseveres. You could exchange the word love there and insert the word Jesus, and that would be just fine. But could we insert our name here? Could we insert our names here? We're not, listen, we don't love because we say so. We love because we demonstrate it. We love because we demonstrate it. And the truth is, and this is just the truth. This is just the truth. There are too many, and one would be too many. But there are too many who come to church, who talk about love and sing about love, and they're as mean as a snake. And if you ever cross them, you're on the list and you're never getting off that list. That's not this. That's not this. And when people, listen, when we talk about love, Christian love and how Christian love is demonstrated. Listen, that's how it's demonstrated. That's how it's demonstrated. But again, love is one of those words that we just throw around. Anything. What I said last week, we love everything from pizza to God and make no difference between it. But it is different. We can't talk out of both sides of our mouth. You say, well, who are you talking to? Everybody. Everybody. We can't be known for that. We're not known for that. But I'm saying we can't become known for that. What do you know? I don't know anything. But this needs to be understood. Because too many times people talk about love and they're pushing love, but they're not talking about this. But that's what Christian love is. That's agape. That's Christian love. That's how God loved us. That's Jesus' love. So it's ours. Amen? Okay. So on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about love, pondering the word love. Tonight, this will probably be the last lesson on love, but we need to look at an aspect of it. And the aspect we're looking at is this: loving God. Loving God. I hear people talk about loving God who haven't been inside a church building in 20 years. And they don't see anything wrong with that. They think you can love God and not do that. So what we want to do is talk about loving God. And what does that really mean? What does that really encompass? What is that about? Let's start with this. No one knows you like God does. That's such a simple truth, but I'm going to show you where we don't see it. No one knows you like God. Listen, God knows your name. God knows your address. God knows your cell phone number and your social security number and all your passwords to everything you have. God knows all of us, warts and all. He does. No one knows us like God. There's nothing that's hid. All things are naked and open unto him who has to do with us. Right? Now, open your Bible to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem, and he goes to a pool of Bethesda, and he heals a man. And Jesus tells that man after he heals him, you take up your mat and walk. So the man does. The man takes up his mat and walks. But this is all being done on the Sabbath day. So the Jews there are sideways at this. So they come to the man who's been healed. He's got his mat. And they said, why are you carrying your mat on the Sabbath day? To the Jews, counted that as work. Here's a guy who's been healed. And what they notice is he's carrying his mat on the wrong day of the week. So they come to him. They said, what are you doing? You can't carry your mat on the Sabbath day. This is the day of work. Or this is the day you're not supposed to work, but carrying that mat to them, that was work. Listen, they're sideways about all this. And now they're going to come after Jesus too. Who did this? Who told you this was okay? And so Jesus, listen to me. Jesus addresses them. And Jesus says, listen, that's not the problem. The problem with you is not that this is the Sabbath day. And the problem with you is not that he's carrying that mat. That's not what the issue is here. And then Jesus tells them what their problem is. In John chapter 5 and in verse 42, look what he tells them. But I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your heart. That's what was wrong with him. Now, brethren, listen to me. No one knows us like God. Amen? No one knows us like God. Amen? And God knows when we do not love. God knows when we do not love. And as simple as that is, I think people aren't aware of that. Or at least they live like they're not aware of it. God knows everything about you. And what that includes is he knows when you do not love. Jesus told those Jews, listen, your problem is that the love of God is not in your heart. Now, they would have never guessed that was their problem. They thought their hearts were running over with the love of God. Listen. God knows when you do not love your neighbor. In Matthew 22 and in verse 39, Jesus said the second greatest commandment is like the first one, love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, God knows when we don't love our neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Yeah, whoever needs you. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Well, who is my neighbor? Whoever needs you. But God knows when we do not love our neighbor. Brethren, God knows when we do not love our enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 44, love your enemies. But remember what that means? You want what is in their best interest. That's agape. agape your enemies. It's not about how you feel. It's not your emotion toward them. I just want what is in their best interest. Listen, I can want what's in somebody's best interest without going and baking cookies with them. Right?
Yes.
I don't want anybody to be lost. I don't want anybody to be lost. But God knows when we don't love our enemies. God knows when we don't love our brethren. I want to show you something in that verse. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you something in that verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. There is so much in this verse, but I'm not going to take time to fool with all of this. How do you purify yourselves? By obeying the truth. So you don't purify yourself by being passive and wait for God to do something. Now, here's what I want. Now that you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brother. A sincere love is a love without hypocrisy. Too many times there's hypocrisy in our love. We're saying what we don't think and what we don't mean. A sincere love for your brethren. Now watch this. Love one another deeply from your heart. Now, your translation may say, love one another, look at the end of it, love one another earnestly. How many of you have earnestly? What does your translation say at the end?
Fervently.
Earnestly. Verse 22, deeply. Here's what I want you to understand. That word earnestly or fervently is a word that describes a horse that has broken into a full gallop. And in other words, the word that Peter uses is a word that describes a horse. A mammoth, muscle-bound animal who has broken into a full run. And with every fiber of its being, he's stretching every muscle as hard as he can. That's the word that Peter used. And in other words, our love ought to be in a full gallop with each other. That's a powerful word. And listen, when it's not, God knows it's not, because nobody knows us like God knows us. God knows us when we don't love. God knows when we don't love him. God knows when we don't love him. The greatest commandment in the world is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And I don't really think in that verse Jesus is trying to make a distinction. What Jesus is saying in that verse, everything that makes up everything you are, that is to love God. Now, let's take another step here. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Christian love? Nobody knows you like God? Let me tell you something. God knows when you don't love. You can fool me, and depending on the thing, I'm easily fooled. But you're not going to stand before me. Love is the answer to many of life's problems. You know what's wrong in the Middle East? Right there. That's what's wrong in the Middle East. Right there. You know what's wrong with America? Right there. You know what's wrong with a lot of us? Right there. Listen to me. Love is the answer to a lot of life's problems. But now listen to me carefully, because we're getting to where we're going now. The source of the love has to be God. The source of the love has to be God. Because God is love. And the reason that people don't love, and even when they're in the action of not loving, they think that they are loving, because they don't know God. Listen, if God is love and you don't know God, how can you love? How can you do what comes from one that you do not know? And people say, well, the Beatles said, all you need is love. Listen, but the source of it, I can sing. Just not very good. But the source of it has got to come from God. It's got to come from God, because God is love. People out on the street talking about love, they don't know anything about this. So here's the question, and here we are. How does one know if they love God? This lesson is about loving God. How does somebody know if they love God? Because they say it? No, I don't think so. Some folk have a tendency to lie to you. And some folk have a tendency to lie to you most time they talk to you. So then how do we know? We're going to look at three things. Number one, they will love God's word. They will love God's word. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. That's where we're going to start. And then we're going to go to another place. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is love for God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Look at that verse. When God commands, we obey. Why? Why? When God commands, we obey because he forces us to. When God commands, we obey because we are afraid not to. Why do we obey? Because we love. Because we love. Now, look at John chapter 14 and verse 15. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Listen, our love for God is directly tied to obedience and love of the commands of the Word of God. Now, I want you to look at that verse. I want to explain something to you. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Listen to me. A person's life that consistently disobeys the word of God, that life is a commentary to the fact that a person does not love God. If a person's life is consistently in disobedience to this, that life is a commentary. It's a commentary telling everybody that this person does not love God. And those two verses prove what I just said. They prove what I just said. Look, God knows when there's no love in our hearts. John 5:42. God knows when there's no love in our hearts. How do we know that we love God? Because we will love his word. We will keep his word. His word is evident, and his word is proof that we love him. If you don't love the word, you don't love God. Now, is that true or is that false? That's true. That's true. Now, a person can say what they want to say, but we're not talking about people who love God because they say they love God. We're talking about people who actually love God. People who love God will love his word and they will keep his word, and either the proof or the denial of their love for God in their life is proven by their relationship with God's word. So how do we know we love God? Because of our relationship with his word. Our relationship with his word. People want to read clear, plain passages and then argue about it. Right? How could that mean something else? Number two, this is the heart of what I want to get at tonight. If a person loves God, they will love the things that are associated with God. How do we know we love God? Because we're going to love the things that are associated with God. At home, in my office, on the right set of drawers, in the middle drawer, there is a wallet. I almost brought the wallet. It's my mother's wallet. It is just a plastic fold over. It's ripped. It's just, monetarily, it is absolutely worthless. It's a mess, is actually what it is. But when she died, that wallet was in her purse. And I have that wallet in my possession as it was the day she died. And I took that out this afternoon and opened it up, and it's torn, it's ripped, and it's like all just barely hanging together. Listen to me. Listen to me. I associate that wallet with my mother. Every time I see that wallet, I think of my mother. And I'm telling you, if that wallet was laying out there in the street, and you walked down the street and saw that wallet laying there, the only reason you'd pick it up is see if something was in it. You'd pick it up to see, listen to me, and every single last one of you, every single last one of you, when you opened it and if there was nothing in it, to the person, you'd take it and just chuck it. But I'm telling you, you can't buy that wallet from me. You know why? Because of who I associate with. That was my mama's wallet. And you can't have that wallet. And you can't buy that wallet from me. Now, let me ask something. Whom do you associate reading your Bible with? Whom do you associate prayer with? Whom do you associate worship on Sunday morning in this place with? Whom do you associate the Lord's Supper with? Whom do you associate giving with? Whom do you associate singing hymns with? You understand what I'm saying? I love that wallet. I love that wallet. Don't open that door. I love that wallet. You still ain't getting in. Listen to me. I love that wallet. And that wallet is worthless to the rest of the world. But that wallet is valuable because of who I associate it with. And I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. If you love God, you are going to associate with God. You're going to love the things that God are associated with. And I'm going to tell you this. If a person does not love the things that are associated with God, they don't love God. They don't love God. If a person doesn't love to worship, if a person doesn't love to engage in the acts, in the avenues of worship, if a person doesn't love that, that person doesn't love God. Listen, if you love God, you're going to love the things that are associated with Him. Yes or no? Yes. True or false? So we're going to talk about it? How about this? What about the person who comes, gone 2 weeks, come back? Gone 2 weeks, come back, gone 2 weeks. What are they saying to you? What are they saying? They don't love God. Now, they're not going to say that, and they're going to tell you something else. But I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing is talking too loud. Right? We're talking about loving God. We're talking about, really loving, not just saying that we do, but really loving Him. Agape, Christian love. Do you love her? Yeah, but I'm not patient with her. Then you got a problem. So we love God. We know we love God because we love His Word. We know that we love God because we're going to love the things that are associated with God. Listen, if a person doesn't love to come and to worship God, if a person doesn't love to read their Bible, if a person doesn't love these things, how can they love God? No. And people need to stop saying that, and we need to stop allowing them to tell me that. Don't tell me that. Number three. The way we treat our brethren. The way we treat our brethren. How do we know we love God? Because of my relationship with this. Because this is His mind. Listen, the Word reveals the mind of God. The Word reveals the will of God. This is what I want for you. Well, I don't like this, but I love God. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I was born early in the morning, but not early this morning. Well, how do you really, really know? Well, you just listen to them talk. No. How do you really, really know? Because they're going to love the things that are associated with God. Just like I love that raggedy wallet. And number three, you're going to know they love God by the way they treat their brethren. Two verses we want to look at, and we're going to be done. Let's take these two verses. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Scary isn't a word, but these verses, 1 John 3, 14 through 16 is a little haunting. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life. Now that's spiritual death and life. In another word, we know we've gone from being lost to being saved, is what that's saying. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death, that is lost. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And in other words, that's his mindset. That's his mindset. And you know that no murderer has ever entered, has eternal life in him. Here's what that passage is saying. That passage is saying we know that we are saved because we love God and we love our brethren. That's what it's saying. How do you know you're saved? According to that passage, because I love my brother. Now, what if somebody doesn't love their brethren? They're not saved. They're not saved. Yes or no? Am I making this stuff? Am I pulling this stuff out of air? No, we know we have passed from death to life because we love our brethren. Well, I love God, but I hate the church. You don't love God. Yeah, but I really love God. No, you don't. No, no. Look at John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Stop right there. The new commandment is not that they should love one another. He hasn't got to the new part yet. Moses told them they ought to love one another. So when Jesus said, here's a new commandment, love one another, they knew that wasn't it because they had heard that all our lives. Here's the new part. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Here it is. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. We don't just love one, we love one another as Jesus loves us. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Listen, the world, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but the world isn't going to know that we belong to Jesus because we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Though we ought to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And the world isn't going to know that we love Jesus because we baptize people for remission of sin, though we do that. The world is going to know we love Jesus initially by the way they see us treat each other. And when they see our treatment of each other is different, and I don't see this anywhere else, then when they come in here, we can explain to them the necessity of the Lord's Supper, and we can explain to them their baptism, but all of those things, they don't care about that. What will initially draw them is when they see our relationship with each other. And when they see something that they can't find anywhere else, I need to investigate what that is. Jesus says what will draw them is how you treat each other. That's what's going to draw them. And once you draw them, then you can sit them down and teach them and lead them everywhere else that they need to go. But this is Christian love. What we've talked about last Wednesday and what we've talked about tonight is Christian love. And all of the rest of it that we dress up as love is smoke and mirrors. It's smoke and mirrors. And it's what we've told ourselves. Well, this is what God said, but this will be okay. Well, if what's okay isn't what he said, then it's not going to be okay. Are we good? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. And we know that through our obedience to your word, that our lives will be all that it ought to be. And that if we will embrace your word, we will be a better people, a happier people, and a more joyful people. So bless us. Give us the faith to love. Give us the faith to love as we ought to love. Bless us as we depart this place. Watch over us. Keep us safe from harm. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be dismissed.